Welcome to Blood, Sweat, and Metal. I'm your co-host, Jamie McNichol, and we have an absolutely awesome guest. I'm talking to a member from Fear Factory that coming to Australia next summer for Soundwave, and I'm talking to Burton. How are you going, Burton?
All right, Jamie. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for allowing us to do this, and thank you to Nuclear Blast. And I've got a couple of questions straight off the bat, and I'm going straight into it. Been signed up for Soundwave next year. I want to ask, are you boys looking forward to coming back to Australia to play at a festival like Soundwave?
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I'm just looking back to getting to Australia. And secondly, to have the opportunity to play a festival like Soundwave is even better. So, yeah, there's a lot of great artists on it this year, so I'm pretty excited to be there.
Talking about festivals, as such as like Soundwave, do you guys find it a bit more easier to do festivals rather than doing a headline show because, especially coming to Australia, the cost of bringing the production down is a bit more expensive to travel to Australia, for instance?
You know, I like both. You know, touring a festival is easy. You know, it has, you know, the less shows, the whole, you know, it's not all on you to have all the audience there for you. So it's because you're part of a huge and wonderful package. There's going to be a lot of people there enjoying it no matter what. The cool thing is that you get to, you know, you have fans that have never seen you before, so you get to impress some fans. So on that, with that in mind, you got to play the best show you possibly can because, one, you got fans that are, you have fans that want to see you. Plus, you know, fans that never want to see you, so you wanna impress them. So you gotta be on your A+ game all the way, and that's true with your own show. You know, you gotta bring it. You know, you gotta have like killer lights. You gotta have a great sound. You gotta put on a great show for the fans that have seen you once or twice before.
Yeah. What are your finest moments of touring Australia? What are your finest moments that you've been here?
Well, the finest moments that I've been there?
Yeah, especially on the last tour or the tours before.
You know, Fear Factory has been to Australia so many times. I would dare say that we're one of the bands, we're probably one band that's been there more times than any other of those bands that we're going to be on the tour with. I think we've been there more than 20 times. So I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of great experiences, you know, from our very first tour there back in 93 to, you know, opening up for Metallica there. You know, a lot of special moments. And, you know, a lot of great memories, a lot of great shows, meeting a lot of great fans. Crazy fans. You know,
that Metallica concert that you opened up for, that was for the Load tour, wasn't it? I believe
that was what
the Load, the album Load that Metallica brought out.
Load? No,
the Black Album.
No, that was Death Magnetic.
Death Magnetic. Oh, 2003. Yeah.
That's when we that's when we were opening up for Metallica in Australia, 2004, 2005.
Yeah. Well, I just want to go straight into another question. You sign up with a new deal for Nuclear Blast. How did that come about?
Well, the fact that Monty Connor now works for Roadrunner, and if you're familiar with Fear Factory and Roadrunner, Roadrunner history, Monty Connor was the one that signed Fear Factory to Roadrunner. So when Roadrunner discontinued, Monty started working for Nuclear Blast, and Monty wanted the opportunity to do Fear Factory right and get us on a proper label and get the name out there properly. So it's through friendship, that's how it came out.
And by doing that, you're working on a new album, I believe, at this moment.
We're currently working on a new record and getting close to being finished.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the music side of things, the business side of things. Over the years of being in Fear Factory, and not only just you, but the other members, I just want to ask you personally, what have you seen change over the years in the music business side of things?
The dedication of fans. There's loyal fans, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to fans actually supporting the artist, there's a certain group, not all fans, but there's a certain percentage of fans that still continue to illegally download music, which does affect the band. I see that Facebook is really impertinent to anything because people that follow bands on Facebook don't really come out to shows and are not really supporting the band. You know, they might be interested in newsfeed or once in a while, but you know, just because the internet you can see everything you want on the internet doesn't make it better for bands at all. It actually makes it harder. And you know, and this is one thing that is a game changer for all bands, is that once people stop coming to shows, then what's the point of bands even getting together? You know, if you can't support yourself by writing a record, and if you can't support yourself by not going on tour, then what's the point of even doing anything? So, you know, the survival of the band is really on the edge. And not my band, just bands in general. Times are getting harder just to be in a band at all.
Another thing I've seen with social media, especially Facebook and Twitter, a lot of bands have got massive numbers of followers or likes on the page, but when it comes to the album being brought, whether it's a hard copy or via iTunes, the numbers are completely different. And I know there's a couple of people in the music industry, especially Sebastian Bach, who just came out recently. It's a bit disappointing where he's got more numbers following him or liking him on social media than actually going out and buying the album, whether via iTunes or a hard copy at a local record store. Do you see that a little bit discouraging?
It is discouraging. You know, the numbers don't translate. They don't translate. And it's really discouraging. It's like, okay, we have 1 million followers on Facebook, but, you know, 12,000 people bought the record. What the fuck? You know, it doesn't translate. So what's the point of even having a Facebook page if less than 1%, you know, of the people on your page will actually go out and buy a record? Less than 1% will actually go out and buy the record. It is discouraging, you know, and then that number also doesn't translate in tour either. You know, if you're trying to support yourself, the only way bands can support themselves these days is to tour. And if those numbers don't translate from your social media site to your concerts, then it makes it so much more difficult. And that's, you know, if everyone is waiting to see them on YouTube, then they're not going to even see them on YouTube because concert never happened.
Yeah, and you just mentioned YouTube. For me, I reckon that's a new MTV, because nearly everything's going over there now. People are just downloading or uploading a video to YouTube, and next thing you know, they've got massive hits on it and whatnot. And I know here in Australia, there's not much music programs as there used to be back in the 80s and 90s. I mean, I don't know what it's like over your neck of the woods, but I know here in Australia, there's very limited music programs, unless you got cable TV, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's so many, you know, like Spotify or Pandora, the biggest ones, iHeartRadio, you know, that's, they're making it difficult for artists too. You know, they're not getting a proper, return on having your music played. And it's a real sad state of affairs, you know. As an artist, and I speak for most artists, is that as an artist, we bleed and sweat our soul into the music. And we do this because we love it, and two, this is how we survive. And if this blood, sweat, and tears don't equate into surviving, then there's no point in doing it.
Exactly. Well, let's go back on a sound.
Would you want to put your heart and soul into something, and like someone just basically steal it from you?
Exactly.
No?
Exactly. You made a point there, because me personally, being a fan of the music and whatnot, I just find it a bit discouraging where, you know, people judge accordingly to the sound or to the stereotype or whatever. And yet, when you come into a band like Fear Factory or even just the metal genre, it has, in a way, declined in the mid to late 90s, and now it's starting to come back a bit. And that's the positive. But on the flip side of that, people just want everything for free now. They want a legal download, or they want to go on Spotify, or they want to go on YouTube, and yet, why should they? The question I ask to some of these fans: why should we have to pay when we can get it for free? Well, the answer to that is the band puts their heart, sweat, blood, tears, thousands of dollars in making an album, and yet the least thing you could do is just buy the album, because it goes back to the music business side of things.
No, if you are a true fan and you want to support your band, then support them properly. And if you want to see them on tour, that's the way to support them. Because if you don't, then if no one buys a record, then no one's going to tour. Everyone expects everything for free because they feel entitled to it. And, it doesn't work out that way. Of course, people want things for free. If you see a bowl of chocolate out in the middle of a room, people are gonna say, "Hell yeah, I want that bowl of chocolate. It's free." It doesn't make it right. The industry has to get smart. Something has to be done to stop this. People need to be educated, and someone needs to come up with some kind of protection for the artist.
Exactly.
That will work.
Well, we got exactly. We're going back on the sound wave and that. How long did you guys plan? Have you got a time schedule at the moment, or is everything up in the air still?
We play close to an hour, but I don't know when we're going on. I don't know. I know what days we're playing, but I don't know where we're going to be at during the day.
Yeah. And I cannot wait. I'll be here in Adelaide. My co-host, David, he's in Melbourne. He'll be seeing you in the Melbourne. I'll be here in Adelaide. And we just can't wait.
Awesome.
And we just cannot wait. And not only that, to see you guys back on Australian shores again may get a new base of fans, especially the younger generation, because they're coming back out to the festivals now.
I know. I can't wait. There's going to be a lot of great bands there, so we really got to bring our A game and impress some new fans and convince them, like, hey, we're a good band. Come check us out when we're on our own. Check out the new record.
Yeah. And just talking about the new record, when do you think that will be completed? Would it be next year, in the mid-year sometime?
Right now, it's supposed to be released in April.
Yeah. And we cannot wait. And we will plug it, and we will support it, and try and play it on our show, some of the singles, when it gets released on our show, because we want to say thanks to Nuclear Blast for allowing this to happen. We love Nuclear Blast because most of the bands that we follow has came across to Nuclear Blast, like, for instance, from Roadrunner or from other avenues that they used to be around. There are the record labels that no longer exist. And Nuclear Blast is waving the flag of metal and rock. And I just love the the bands and the artists that are coming along. And we get them on our show, and we thank you for joining us. And we cannot wait for Soundwave 2015.
I can't wait either, Jimmy. I'm looking forward to it.
And that. All right, well, that's all the time we got for. We want to say thank you, Burton, for joining us. And
thank you for calling, man. It's been great talking with you.
Yeah, and we will talk soon on the new Soundwave for next year, and I cannot wait to meet you in person and shake your hand and salute you.
Well, make sure you introduce yourself, Jamie.
No worries. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
You too. All right. Well, g'day, everyone. This is Jamie again from Blood, Sweat & Metals, the metal podcast down here in Australia. It's a great privilege and a great honor to have Dino from Fear Factory. How you going, Dino?
It's going great. I'm here in California and sitting down. Been in the studio pretty much all day working on the new record for Fear Factory.
Yes, and let's just talk about the new album. You just recently signed up for Nuclear Blast, and you're working on a new album. How's the new album coming along? I believe it's coming out around about April, if I'm correct. Were you looking at April?
Well, we're shooting for April, but we'll see how things go. Most of the record's pretty much done. The only thing that's left is some of Bert's vocals and some keyboard stuff, and then after that, we will be mixing the album.
Yeah, and congratulations for you guys as well for signing up with Nuclear Blast. I just want to ask, how did that came about?
Monty Connor, who used to be A&R guy at Roadrunner Records, left Roadrunner Records, and he decided to pair up with Nuclear Blast Entertainment. And he definitely wanted the band because he was the guy who originally signed us to Roadrunner Records. And so he wanted the band for Nuclear Blast, and so he approached us on it. And, of course, we have worked with Monty, a lot in the past, and we thought it was best for the band to go there. And so that's what we did.
And I want to say this on being a metal fan myself, that's why I'm doing the podcast. I love Nuclear Blast due to the fact that it's keeping the bands afloat. A lot of record labels don't exist anymore, but Nuclear Blast has came along, grabbed them, and just looked after not just your band, but a lot of bands. And I think the independent side of things as well, these new bands that sprouting up all over the world, and Nuclear Blast has taken them under their wing, it's just an awesome, awesome thing to do.
Well, since the music industry has changed so much, not a lot of labels are really supporting the bands. Not a lot of labels can support the bands like they used to, because there's not a lot of money that's flowing in. But Nuclear Blast, the bands on Nuclear Blast, pretty much stay true to the roots and what they're about. And I think that translates really well with the fans and with the record label, and the record label is able to sell enough records to keep the bands afloat and keep them out there touring, keep them out there working, and keep them out there making great albums. And that's rare nowadays, because, like I said, labels are not making enough money to really. Labels don't have a lot of finances to really support the band, and we're lucky to be with Nuclear Blast, that is a label that's able to support the band, and we're extremely happy to be there, and we can't wait for the record to come out.
Yeah. Also, we have to talk about this. You're coming to Soundwave for Australia next summer in February. We cannot wait.
Sure.
For you guys to come down here. I want to ask, you're looking forward to coming back to Australia?
Fuck yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to be back there. I mean, we've been traveling through Australia since 1993. We've been there pretty much since the first album, and we can't wait to go back. I mean, Australia is like our home away from home, and we always have a blast every time we're there.
Yeah, and I've got to say, with the festival side of things, do you guys finding it a little bit easier to do festivals rather than doing a headline show? Only because it costs less to bring your stuff to Australia, because I know it costs a shitload of money to come to Australia nowadays, and to bring a full production and doing a traveling festival like Soundwave, do you find that a little bit more easier for you guys to do?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't really think any of it's really hard. You know what I mean? It's all going to be fun. I mean, one of the things I like about festivals is that you get to see all those other bands. I mean, I'm not just excited to play. I'm also excited to see the bands playing. You know what I mean? But for me, no, it's all the same. You know what I mean? It's neither hard nor easy. You know, I just love playing live in general, and, you know, doing our own headlining tour or festivals is pretty much all the same to me. You know what I mean? I just want to be out there playing in front of people. So that's really pretty much what drives me to be out there to do this.
Well, I think that's the main point. As long as you're playing live, it shouldn't be hard at all or easy. It's just getting your music out there to a wider audience as well. But I did ask Burton earlier, I want to ask the same question. Do you find it a little bit more discouraging when you have many likes on your social media, where Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and yet when you bring an album out, the numbers don't add up to the followers that actually are following you?
Does it bother me?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody knows that CD sales don't really exist as much as they used to, or nowhere near as much as they used to. Everybody knows that, you know, this industry is a declining industry, and, you know, it's still difficult to sell any kind of a product. But at the same time, if they're actually showing that they like something of the band, at least gives me an indication that they're aware of the band and they're at least, you know, like something from the band. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times I look at Spotify and I look at what our most downloaded song is, or if you go to iTunes or Spotify, you can see what fans are listening to and how many millions of people listen to certain songs. You know, that to me is like saying, okay, you have 2 million listens on this one song. At least, you know, that gives me an indication of how many people are listening. You know what I mean? And that to me, I'm least happy about, you know, because you can't expect anybody to go out and buy a CD anymore. No one's doing it. No one. Nobody's out there buying CDs. Everybody's downloading. So if they at least like the CD, that's actually, I'm more concerned if they buy tickets to the show than I am concerned with them buying a CD. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't expect them to buy a CD anymore. So I rather more expect them to buy a T-shirt or a ticket to the show.
Well, if you're like me that loves to go to concerts, I just love to get a guitar pick thrown at me and I catch it. I collect them. I've got about 100 of them since I've been going to concerts and that. Probably a little bit more, actually. But let's talk about the album. Are you following the same type of... what I'm trying to say, you're following the same type of category or songwriting procedure as you prepare for this new album?
Well, this record is definitely going to be a conceptual record. I'm not sure if Bert had mentioned that to you or not, but we've always, you know, try to add some sort of element of a concept into the record, because we always like to add a little bit more to the story than just an album and some songs. You know what I mean? So we've always tried to add a little bit of a story to what we talk about. And it's always something that's futuristic, whether it's bad or good, you know, and where technology is taking us, where, you know, how much technology has become a big part of our lives. And to some people, it is their life. You know, we've always tried to use that element, man versus machine, whether it's, you know, human versus mechanicism, or whatever you want to call it. This record is definitely going to have a concept. It's definitely going to have a concept. It's definitely, we have all the song titles, we have all the album titles. You know, we have everything. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all any of that stuff because the record label would be a little upset if I did.
Of course they will. And
I don't know if Bert revealed any of that stuff, but we kind of can't.
Yeah, and we don't want to put out anything just yet. We want to keep it as a surprise, because that's the whole mystique of an album when it comes out. You want to be surprised. It's like going to a concert. Now, this is what I say about social media before. A lot of people put the set list up the night before you go to a concert. So the mystique of going to a concert, not knowing the set list, is taking surprise away from actually going to the concert. And this is why I don't want to go too much into the new album, because I want to keep the mystique. I want to keep the surprise, and I want to keep everything all in that parcel.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Although we did entertain the idea of possibly letting the fans pick the set list. But even though the fans, you know, might pick the most popular songs, doesn't mean that we're still going to be playing those songs. So it'll still be an element of surprise. But, we can't wait to come out to Soundwave. We can't wait to do it. This is our first time doing Soundwave.
Yep.
We've done Big Day Out quite a few times. I'm just very happy that we get to come back there and do a whole new festival, because it is the most prestigious metal festival there is in Australia.
It is. And like I said, we cannot wait for you guys to hit down to Australia in February next year. Going to be a blistering summer. Going to be hot. Going to be sweaty. Going to be moshing. There's going to be everything you can name for. And also, I will say this. Being an Aussie myself, we'll put a steak on the barbie for you.
Fuck yeah. As long as there's a corona there, I'm all good.
Well, that's all the time we got for, because we only allowed 15 minutes. But Dino, it's an absolute pleasure. I'll be seeing you here in Adelaide. My co-host will be seeing you in Melbourne. And we cannot wait to have a drink, have a snack on a barbie, have a bit of a chat, and shake your hand and talk in person.
Fuck yeah. I can't wait. And we will see you, man.
Yeah, we will. And all right, guys, that's all the time we got for. And thanks, Dino, once again.